finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.
Five long, very long months. That's how long we have waited for this day to arrive. And it is finally here, September 19, when the 2020 Indian Premier League season finally gets underway. MS Dhoni will be in action. Rohit Sharma will be in action. Both of them after a long time. Then there's Chennai Super Kings, Mumbai Indians, AB de Villiers, Virat Kohli, Hardik Pandya, Jasprit Bumrah. I can count every name that is on the list of the eight franchisees and I will still not be done. That's how excited I am, and I'm sure our panelists are excited too. And of course, you, our listeners and viewers, are excited as well. Finally, the biggest T20 extravaganza on the planet is here, and we couldn't be happier to talk about it. Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Hotspot, the cricket podcast. As always, I am your host, sports journalist and broadcaster Chetan Narula. And joining me from Abu Dhabi in the biosecure bubble is my co-host, former Indian cricketer and broadcaster Deep Das Gupta. Deep, hello from Delhi to Abu Dhabi. How are you? How was your travel? I saw your pictures of traveling with the mask and the face shield. How's your quarantine going? How's your excitement building up to the tournament?
I'm very excited and it's been an adventure, to be honest. And to be very, very fair, I'm scared because I've started to like the quarantine life, you know. So I'm scared from that perspective. I shouldn't get too comfortable with this because it's a matter of another 3-4 days. So yeah, but very, very excited. And also, I mean, I must say this, and I'm sure our guest here today will also, I would like you to introduce him, but he would also agree that the effort that has gone in to organize this is superhuman. You know, being looked after every detail, keeping in mind the conditions around us, is absolutely brilliant. And a lot of credit to all the people, the whole team who's organized this. This is really a superhuman effort.
Well, we'll talk more about the bio bubble in just a second, but we need to introduce our guest for today. He is no stranger to all the Indian cricket fans, Indian cricket lovers. He's one of the most well-known voices behind the microphone in India today. He has made a niche impact in his Hindi commentary. He's a friend and colleague of Deep Das Gupta on the field, off it. He's my friend and colleague as well. In fact, he was only the second cricketer I had interviewed as a young journalist back in 2008 when he was still opening the innings for Delhi in the Ranji Trophy. This is Akashwani meets Hotspot. We welcome for the first time on the show Akash Chopra. Akash, a very warm welcome to you. Thanks for joining us. How was your travel? Again, I saw your pic as well with the mask and the face shield. How was your quarantine and excitement going for the tournament?
Thank you so much, Chetan, and thanks, Deep. Thanks for the very, very, very kind and flattering words. Of course, I treat you guys as friends. You are my friends, colleagues. Later, it's okay. We happen to work on the sport that we love so much. In terms of my travel, I was actually prepared to go to Mars. If you see my pictures, I was actually going to Mars, but via UAE. That's the plan. So that we do this we cover this wonderful tournament. And you actually, just a very small little detail here. Deep is not just BCCI panel commentator. Oh. He's also Hindi star. He's also Bengali star. He may have learnt a couple of more languages in the quarantine period already. So he's Deep is actually extremely deep. And by definition, Akash should be omnipresent. It's Deep who's really, really deep and is everywhere.
Between both of you, you guys have them covered in every language from the sky to the earth, really.
Thank you so much, Akash. I mean, listen, it's an absolute honor and pleasure to always be on the same platform as Akash, because I think, as you mentioned, rightly so, he's been a path breaker, a game changer in many, many ways.
मजे मत लो सुनो मेरी बात काम करते हैं मत कीचो काम करते हैं
okay so let's start with a very, very basic question. As Deep was saying, it's been a Herculean task putting the bubble together. I just want you guys to describe, because you are in separate hotels here, Deep is in Abu Dhabi, you are in Dubai, for our listeners and our viewers, I just want you to describe You showed me the paper cups and everything. Just describe the BioBubble Deep first and then Akash.
The difference, I mean, see, it's very simple. I mean, just think about this. Imagine a big bubble. You include everything that we will do, starting from staying in a hotel to the ground itself and the travel. And you try and imagine a big bubble and include everything in there. So once you're in there, you can't go out. And once you're out, you can't come in. Right, and the whole process of quarantine takes place. So it's as simple as that. If you can visualize, I'm sure everyone's seen pictures of, you know, or movies with domes and all that. It's something on those lines, which is obviously not a physical thing, but so that's how it is. So everyone who's serving us, who's making food for us, to our, you know, people who are driving us around, to everyone who are part of the crew, everyone's part of that. So anyone who's part of it, it's fine. But anyone who's not part of it, we have no physical contact with them. So that's what the bubble is. And how it is, I think there are obviously differences in and if Akash can show, he's having his tea in a cup and I'm having in a paper mug. So that's the kind of difference. But yeah, fair enough. There you go.
Mine is proper iced tea cup. Yeah, Akash, no, go
there
ahead.
There is a slight difference that he was talking about tea. I'm actually having coffee and you are having iced tea. So there are differences. But then there is no housekeeping. So for the first 6 days, so after three tests and your quarantine is done, only then you are allowed to have housekeeping. So we are also cleaning the rooms, etc., ourselves, which is actually now it's become a habit because this whole quarantine, self-imposed quarantine isolation for the last 6 months has taught us a lot of skills that we did not have earlier, or rather were not aware of those skills. So yes, it is interesting, but we won't get used to it yet. I'm missing my kids already.
One question to both of you: do you have any balconies in your room? Because balconies were a hot topic.
What's that?
Do you have balconies in your rooms? Any balconies in your room?
No, I still can't hear you. What's that? Balconies? The only balcony that I know is Lord's dressing room balcony, because that's where Paji stood, and that's why I started playing cricket. The only balcony that I know.
That's the only balcony in cricket, in fact. Right. So let's dive straight into this episode and talk about the various combinations, permutations. We're not going to go deep in every team, but we're going to talk about the all-round or the IPL as a whole. Short discussion about each franchisee and the players to pick out for. You know, we will, maybe it's a fantasy league pick for our listeners and viewers. So Akash and Deep will be picking their players from each franchisee to watch out for one or two players. We have to start with this gentleman who's just retired from international cricket, but not from cricket. We will not be seeing him in blue anymore, but we'll be seeing him in yellow again, at least one more time. MS Dhoni. Akash, coming to you first. The retirement, not surprising, but he's looking fit. We've seen his practice videos. He's raring to go at least one more time in yellow.
And I think it won't be just one more time. Yes, when somebody is retired from international cricket, you take as one season at a time. You don't try to look for too far ahead in the future. But let's also understand that we may have, in fact, we will have two IPLs in about 8 months' time. So it's not really the next edition of the IPL is too far away. So I see Dhoni this year. I see Dhoni in 2021. And it'll be fun to watch him because we've all missed him. And when things go away, when someone goes away, that's when we realize their importance in our lives a lot more. And then there is this romanticism of just watching them again on the field of play. And then you stop criticizing and analyzing them beyond a point as well, because this is like it's a love affair. And you know that it's no longer there for you. So you're trying to just get hold of whatever little pieces that are there for you to grab. So I would see Dhoni in that light, because we do know that the shadows are lengthening and the sun is setting. International sun has already set now. So when you know the time is running out, then you make the most of it. So Dhoni in Chennai Super Kings yellow, I still feel that he will actually rally around the troops and he will still be very effective as a captain and as a batsman as well. But then can't wait to watch him play.
Deep, Akash talked about, you know, missing what you don't have, and Chennai Super Kings will not have Suresh Raina. He is one of the most prolific batsmen in IPL history. He's not there. There's still doubt he might come back. He may come back. There's no announcement about that. How much are Chennai going to miss him? They're also going to miss Harbhajan Singh. Both of them have pulled out for personal reasons. What is the combination of Chennai Super Kings to shape up like in their absence? More Raina's absence than Bhaji's absence.
Well, I mean, Suresh has been Mr. IPL. I mean, he's one guy who's been very, very consistent over, 12, 13 years now. So obviously they're going to miss him. And he was one of the main cogs in that wheel, especially when we're talking about batting. And also Bhaji, because let's not forget, you're all expecting these pitches to tire out, and especially second half of the tournament where the spinners will be more useful, will have a more say. And the fact that they only have one off-spinner. The other part-time off-spinner or kind of off-spinner was Suresh. So both the off-spinners are missing now. So obviously, I mean, that's something that will bother them. But having said that, listen, I mean, if it had been any other franchise, I would have said, it'll be difficult for them to kind of rebound. But CSK and MSD, I mean, I'm sure they will find a way out. But the other important thing which has happened, I think the news has come out today, that Ritu Raj has tested positive again. Because that's another thing, you know, that's another player which has gone at least for the first couple of games now. Now that is tested positive. Because again, someone that could have played, he's a young guy who's coming through, has scored a lot of runs in domestic cricket, is an opener, has done well in white ball cricket domestic level. So that's again another blow. So from CSK's perspective, yeah, that's been quite a few blows, but knowing CSK and MSD as their leader, they will find a way. That's more important.
Akash, coming straight to you, I mean, they're seen as a team with elderly players. Do you think they can again go and do it? They had a very good run last year as well. Can they repeat that run, especially missing Raina and Bhaji? And who are the two players you would pick? Of course, like Deep mentioned, the youngster, he's not available for at least first, 10, 12 days at least. So who are the two players you would pick for them to make an initial impact at least?
See, there is one thing with Dhoni that unlike a lot of us, he focuses on things that are there with him. So what people bring on the table and not on what they are not bringing on the table. So when you think about Ruturaj, was he actually going to feature in the playing 11 in the first game? Maybe no, because maybe Murali Vijay is still not like, he's there but and negative, but he may not actually feature in the playing 11. So they do have a few more options than what we actually think they have. Yes, people are going to miss, but that's it. That's okay. I think that they'll be fine, because to qualify for the playoffs, you don't have to be the best team in the IPL. You don't have to win 12 games. You have to win only 8. So 8 games with that bowling unit, with the batting that they have, and considering that these will be 150 plus games, 150, 140, 160, it will not be unlikely to be a 200 plus game every single time they play. So they should be fine. They'll be fine. So the two players who are likely to be actually stars if they are given enough opportunities. One, I'll go with Ravindra Jadeja. I think this should be his season. Only left-hander in the batting lineup, push him up the order. He's done very well in the last 18 months as a batsman, give him that added responsibility. The second guy, and that's just romanticism, I'll go with Dhoni, because when chips are down, Dhoni is someone who actually leads from behind. He's happy for you to actually take center stage, but when the chips are down, when he knows that it's either him or nobody, then I'm pretty sure he'll put himself there, right up there, taking the responsibility, grabbing that bull by the horns. And then that's why these two guys, Jadeja and Dhoni.
Deep, for you?
Yeah, quickly, I just want to jog back to what you said about experience. All right, I'm going to put it as experience. I think experience will play a huge role in this current setup, where you haven't played cricket. Most of the players haven't played cricket for the last 5-6 months. That's where all the miles that you've collected over the years will count. Maturity will count. How you handle 2 months of bubble life. I think that's where the mental side of things, the maturity will count a lot. And that's where I think CSK will have an advantage of having such experienced players. That's one. Secondly, again, when I was making the playing 11, the playing 11, you know, they have enough resources, and knowing CSK and knowing MSD, the way he leads, he does not change his team that often, right? So all he needs is a settled playing 11, at the most 12 or 13, strategically talking, and that he's got enough resources. So I think I'm going to go with Akash and say that, you know, they are better placed, and also keeping in mind, as Akash mentioned about the surfaces. They're playing 7 games in Dubai, and Dubai traditionally has been a low scoring affair where there's a lot of help for spinners. So straight away, if you kind of think about Chepauk and Dubai, there is a lot of similarity in terms of the surfaces that they're going to play on predominantly. So that's one of the reasons that they are well placed in terms of spin options and in terms of batsmen who can play spin. You know, you're looking at Kedar, Ravindra Jadeja, Dhoni himself, they're all good players of spin. So from that perspective, I think their bases are covered, and I'm going to go with MSD. I think he will bat up the order, and I hope he bats up the order a bit. And I think a lot will depend on him. As Akash mentioned, he's somebody who actually, when chips are down, will lead from the front. He will come and take the bull by the horn. So MSD and you know, I'm actually looking at, and also I'm going to agree with Akash on that count as well. Someone like Jadeja has been in phenomenal form, both with the bat and the ball, in the last year and a half, across all formats. I think it's time for him to stand up and be counted.
Now we move on to the next franchise, which is Mumbai Indians. And I personally consider them as one of the pre-tournament favorites. They have a very well-established core of players, Indian core of players. You have Rohit Sharma, you have Hardik Pandya, Jasprit Bumrah, both of them fit and back. Krunal Pandya, then you have Aditya Tare, Ishan Kishan. They also have Saurabh Tiwari and Rahul Chahar in there. But the one thing that I'm looking at is their the foreign players that they have added in the last year. Yes, you had Quinton de Kock, but since then they have you have Mitchell McLennigan, Kieran Pollard also in there. But since then they have added Chris Lynn. Opening or top order was always their issue. And then they've added some really good fast bowlers in there. Nathan Coulter-Nile, Trent Bull, and now a replacement bowler who's come in, James Pattinson. Akash, coming to you first, how do you see Mumbai Indians? Very well settled side, and they have covered all their bases. Top order, pace bowling, everything covered, a lot of options for them.
Well, they didn't need the options, to be very honest. They could have first started like a loan process where they can loan players to other franchises even before the auction. So by the time the auctions happened, they acquired two important players, assets, one in Lynn, the other in NCN, that's Nathan Coulter-Nile. Before that, they had already got Sherfin Rutherford and Trent Bolt. So they do have all the bases covered, yes. But the spin is a little bit of a weak link. And when you look at this tournament, I think they've accounted for conditions at the Wankhede Stadium. And that's why I was surprised when Malinga was ruled out. Why not go for a spinner? Maybe a Zahir Khan, maybe a Mehdi Hasan Miraj, maybe somebody else who's suited for these conditions. But they actually went for another fast bowler. I don't know how they're going to really fit them all of them in the playing 11. I understand first half might be fast bowlers still have a bigger role to play, but as the tournament progresses, you will need spinners. They will still qualify, is what I feel, but I also have a hunch that it won't be hunky-dory. Expect them, just in my books, I've got no like statistical like analysis to really just back my hunch that they will qualify, but they may not qualify as the number one or the number two team this time in the league phase. They will be 3 or 4. They will have their ups. They'll have a few more downs than what they actually experienced last season. It remains to be seen how the likes of Ishan Kishan, Surya Kumar Yadav, Hardik and Krunal, Hardik coming back after an injury, Krunal. So these are areas, and Rahul Chahar, 6 months lockdown. You know, it's not easy. It's easier said than done. And Jasprit Bumrah, before the lockdown, before the COVID thing, was not the same bowler as we've seen before. So 2020 has not been kind on him. So if he's slightly off the radar, if he's slightly off the tracks, you may find Mumbai Indians are also actually facing a bit of a trouble. So they will qualify, but not an easy ride as they had perhaps last season.
Deep, what do you think of the spin factor? They have Krunal Pandya, they have Rahul Chahar, they have Jayant Yadav, who's also coming back from a layoff, wants to make an impression. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, actually they have, but again, those guys can again have a great tournament. But pre-tournament, when you look at those names, when you look at the squad, you would say, you know what, maybe they could have done with another established spinner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, I mean, they still have spinners. I mean, there's Anukul Roy, there is Jayant Yadav. You have, there's Balwant Rai Singh. You have these options and they can go on and have a good season. But again, we're talking about pre-season here. Right, so at times we would tend to go with what they've done before, right, in the past. So from that perspective, you definitely look at that side and say, you know, the spin factor, the depth in the spin department might not be as much. The other important thing, when you're looking at the fact that their home, informally the home is Abu Dhabi, where again, it's known for its sluggish pitches usually. Yeah. What I've been told that they have tried to make the pitch as batting friendly as possible. Maybe start of this season, they might have some semblance of grass on the pitch so that it doesn't break down over the next 50 plus games. But having said that, even if you look at the batting order, right, there are a lot of boundary hitters. So that batting lineup is also very well suited for like a Wankhede kind of a surface. And boundary hitting is not one of the strengths of this venue. When I'm talking about Abu Dhabi, 8 games in Abu Dhabi, right? I think for the last 2 years, the sixes per innings is only 2 point something. I mean, it's less than 3. Let's put it this way. So boundary hitting isn't something that is very, easy on this surface. So from batting perspective also, they need to find out. So they will heavily depend on Rohit, on Surya. Pollard has been in great nick, right? He's been in really good nick in CPL. But again, boundary hitting. You know, when you're looking at a 140, 150 kind of a pitch where you need to rotate strike and all, I mean, how is he going to adapt to that? How is that batting order going to adapt to that? That's something that, again, they need to kind of dig deep.
Interesting point there. And perhaps, Akash, that's where Chris Lynn and Quinton de Kock come in. They usually had only Quinton de Kock, and their top order was always a bit of a juggle. And Rohit Sharma, there was just so much over-reliance, if you can say, on Rohit Sharma. But now getting Chris Lynn, I think that's if he gets going, then Mumbai Indians will have a quick start in almost every innings. Then you can always alternate him with Quinton de Kock and Aditya Tare or Ishan Kishan. They can keep wickets. Who do you think are going to be the two main players for Mumbai Indians?
Firstly, I actually beg to differ that Mumbai Indians, they do not rely that heavily on Rohit Sharma. Rohit Sharma, at best, is like, he gives you, even last year, he wasn't the highest run scorer. You look at the last 5 seasons, or you'll find maybe once he was the highest run scorer. You'll always find other heroes in that team. Rohit Sharma, the captain, Rohit Sharma, the batsman, both are critical to their success. But it's not a one-man team. Quinton de Kock was the highest run scorer last season. So you would expect him to start left-hand, right-hand combination and get Rohit Sharma to open. The kind of form or the lack of it that we have seen from Chris Lynn so far. Now it's well documented what he generally does against spin. So expect a lot of spin thrown at him. Yeah. I don't see him actually starting in the starting playing 11 for them. So Rohit to open with Quinton de Kock. Lynn can wait as and when the opportunity arises. The two players whom I'm looking really forward to watch in this team, one would actually be Rohit Sharma, yes, because when you look at one just what Deep was also referring to, CPL also taught us something that the experienced players in the end actually made sure that their franchise won. So Rohit Sharma is someone you look at. For him, grounds don't matter. See, whether it's a 6-hitting ground or a 4-hitting ground or a running ground, it doesn't matter. He is a special player. When he's on song, he will make every ground look small. He'll make every pitch look quite good to bat. And especially if he's actually opening the innings every single time. So Rohit Sharma will be my one guy. The second will be Rahul Chahar. Because for this team to actually do well, Rahul Chahar must do well. If Rahul Chahar has a bad day, so Balwant Rai Singh is an under-19 kid. Jayant Yadav is an off-spinner. Anukul Roy is a left-arm spinner who played under-19 cricket and one game, maybe 2 games last season. They are not your spin bowling resources. So Rohit Sharma, Rahul Chahar and Hardik Pandya. Hardik Pandya, actually, I'm looking forward to see kaisa khelta, because it's been a while we have not seen him. Hardik Pandya is the third guy.
Deep, to you, your two players, and do you see Rohit opening consistently?
I hope so. I don't know what they will do. I mean, he hasn't done that for Mumbai Indians, I don't think, ever consistently opening. So I really, really hope, because again, on surface where spinners will play a part, he is a different batsman when he opens and then gets to play spinners rather than coming and straight away playing spinners. So from that perspective also, I think it's important. I think a lot of Mumbai Indians this year's fortunes will depend on Rohit. Is what I gather, what I believe. And also, obviously all the players that Akash has mentioned, I'm going to pick another player, which is Surya. I just have a feeling that against Surya, a lot will depend on him. I'm sure he will be promoted up the order, or he'll be batting in the top 4 somewhere. I think he's one guy because a lot of, I mean, he's now a fringe player as well for the Indian side.
Yeah.
Right, for the Indian T20 side. So yeah. I think it should be a big tournament for him, a tournament which will matter a lot. And I hope he comes good.
Well, this year's IPL, if it had been in April, May, then, you know, it would have been a precursor to the T20 World Cup later in Australia, supposed T20 World Cup later in Australia this year. But now it's about the next year's T20 World Cup, or like Akash had mentioned, there'll be two IPLs. So these two IPLs are the precursor to the next T20 World Cup, which will be in India. So we'll see how that goes. Quickly moving on to the next franchisee, which is the Royal Challengers Bangalore. There is certainly over-reliance here. Maybe not in the Mumbai Indians camp, but here there is certainly over-reliance. Virat Kohli, AB de Villiers.
Not anymore. I don't think anymore. I don't know whether Akash will be and all. I don't think anymore.
But before I get Akash in, one statistic that I want to mention to both of you gentlemen. Virat Kohli has been captain of RCB since 2013. Not a single IPL win. There's a lot of pressure there. A lot of talk there. Gautam Gambhir has won it. You have Rohit Sharma, who's won it multiple times. MS Dhoni, who's won it. Other non-Indian captains have won it. So, there's some pressure there. Akash, your take?
See, there will always be some pressure because India captain is leading your franchise. So, there are expectations. The kind of fan base that they have, the kind of high-profile team that RCB is, has been throughout the history of the IPL. They have actually made it to about three finals. It's not that they've been as poor as a lot of us actually are made to believe that this team does not do anything. They're always fighting for sword and spoon. That's not the case. And if they pick their side properly, I'm with Deep here that there is no over, like, won't be an over-reliance on Virat Kohli. There is Aaron Finch to begin with, who should be opening alongside maybe a Devdutt Palikkal / Parthiv Patel. I'm tilting towards Palikkal because nobody has seen him yet. He's done well in the domestic circuit. Good white ball player. And you change things around as well just to see how actually it goes. Three for Virat, four for AB, five for Moin, Shivam Dubey, Washington Sundar. Both are now India players. And are actually reasonably not established, but then they've got some amount of, significant amount of T20 experience playing for India. So when you look at so many Indian players plus a Chris Morris, it's not as bad a team as a lot of people are making it out to be. And the conditions are different, boss. See, Chinnaswamy Stadium, they are a weak side because the bowling is, it gets exposed every single time. It's not Chinnaswamy anymore. And death bowling, death batting, it gets too much of importance because I can tell you two, three, more, five teams where actually death bowling is a concern. Chennai Super Kings death bowling is a concern, but we don't talk about it. There are other teams where you'll find that their death finishing is a concern, but we don't talk about it as much either. So Kings 11 Punjab, for example, had no finishers last year, but we didn't talk about it. Yeah, they don't have finishers. We are looking at one franchise, talking about that franchise. I think they're much better placed this year as they have been in the past. And let me go on and say, actually, I've been saying it on other forums as well, that they will qualify this year. They'll be number four or five. They will not be at seven or eight.
Yeah.
Well, music to RCB fans, Deep. Yeah, go on.
Well, I'm very excited about RCB this year. I think they've got a really, really good side. Again, the caveat being they pick the right 11 or whatever. Because as Akash mentioned, I'm going to go with that kind of a playing 11. And that looks really good. They have enough bowling resources there. They have spin. They have even the faster bowlers, the dead bowlers, they're more matured now. You look at someone like Navdeep Saini, Mohammad Siraj, they're more matured now. They're not rookies anymore. And then you have Dale Steyn. I'm not saying Dale Steyn as a player per se. I'm also saying Dale Steyn, the mentor. I mean, he's a legend. So him being there and helping the younger guys, that's going to help. You've got Isuru Udana. I think a left-arm seamer in these situations will be gold dust. So I think they're very, very well placed. And dependence, you have Aaron Finch, and mind you, he's not just one of the top T20 batsmen, but he's also, you know, a very good captain. The way he's led Australia in T20s or limited overs cricket in the last year or so, he's been a good captain as well. So now Virat also has a sounding board in terms of leadership wise, and then you have ABD. Now ABD has started keeping wickets as well, so that opens up that Devdutt Padikkal thing, and I hope they go with Devdutt Padikkal because he's an exciting talent. He is I've seen him in domestic cricket. He is some guy who's it'll be unfair to compare with KL Rahul, but I'm gonna say something like he's got the same batting style like him, right?
Yeah.
he's got these orthodox cricketing shots, which will make him bat at 140 without taking too much of risks. So I'm really excited with this RCB team. I think they will do well this season, without a shadow of doubt, in my mind at least.
So the consensus with our panelists is that RCB will do well, and they have made some good purchases. Iron Finch, obviously, Chris Morris, the experience in there, Dale Steyn, like you mentioned, Adam Zampa. I think I've been very impressed with Adam Zampa. His wrist spin, wonderful, wonderful bowler. He's always done well in India as well.
Don't forget Moeen Ali, the kind of form.
Moeen Ali, yes, right. Yeah. Moeen Ali also, and the Indian element is also there in their bowling lineup. Umesh Yadav had a fantastic IPL last year. They also have Mohammad Siraj and Navdeep Saini. Again, those two bowlers are on the fringes of the Indian side. Mohammad Siraj maybe not on the white ball side, but Navdeep Saini definitely, and he impressed in the West Indies as well. And so who are your two players, quickly, Akash first and then Deep, to stand out from RCB? I'm sure Virat will be one of those two.
See, that's an obvious choice. But okay, let me just go slightly unconventional, because Virat and AB, everybody is going to say that. Yeah. Moeen Ali and Yuzi Chahal. Moeen Ali and Yuzi Chahal, because Yuzi Chahal as a bowler, I think will enjoy these conditions a lot more. He will have a bigger role to play, will end up actually bowling in the more important phases of the game, power play overs, or maybe 16th or 17th or 18th over once in a while as the tournament progresses. So those are the kind of roles that now can be assigned to him, because there are other bowlers around him who will be still doing a competent job. And Moeen Ali, the batsman, number 5, finish it off and give 4 overs. I mean, what else do you want? So I think these two players might just hold the key to their success, because AB and Virat and Finch are likely to do well. They should do well, and they will do well. It's just about the other players. How much can they actually pull their weight in the side?
Deep, you?
Right. I mean, he's picked all the players. So I'm going to say this. I think for the first time, I think RCB has that at least luxury to go in with a settled batting lineup. You know, you have earmarked openers. You have number 3s. I mean, someone like Virat does not need to open. He loves batting at 3. He's got that position. ABD at 4. So it's a very settled batting lineup, unless they want to mess it around. So that's something that has been an issue with the RCB. You know, they keep changing and chopping openers and middle order and all that. They don't need to, at least now. And as far as players, I mean, listen, I'm excited about the Indian players. I really want to see Devdutt Padikkal, because he's been a revelation in domestic cricket. Want to see how he does at this level. I think he should do well, whatever I've seen of him. And also, I want to see Navdeep Saini. I think he's going to have a bigger responsibility this year, now that he's kind of settled in the Indian T20 setup or Indian setup white ball. So I think, you know, apart from the other guys that Akash has mentioned, I think these two players will, I mean, at least I'm going to keep my eyes out for them.
Well, my picks will be Adam Zampa and Navdeep Saini, because bowling has all, for me at least, has been a concern for RCB. Again, Akash might not agree there, but yes, for me it has been a concern for the RCB. But again, just want to see how, when you have Chahal and Zampa in the mix, how are you going to balance that? And of course, Navdeep Saini, I feel he's a very exciting prospect for India. And with Virat Kohli over there as well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. So a name that Deep mentioned over there, one in the discussion with the RCB, a lot of comparisons with Palikkal there, KL Rahul. He is going to be the captain of Kings 11 Punjab, and probably a pivotal role there. Might keep wickets as well. And when was the last time we saw a captain keeping wickets and, you know, being a premier batsman for his side? Of course, MS Dhoni. And this is the sort of role that KL Rahul is doing. He's doing everything now whenever he's playing, whether it's for the Indian side or domestic or maybe even the IPL now. Deep, first of all, coming to you, how do you see KL Rahul? You know, like we had mentioned, if this would have been IPL and then T20 World Cup this year, this was going to be a very, very pivotal tournament for him. It still is a very pivotal tournament for him, because he's now in that mold where he performs these brilliant roles, all of them together at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he's such an important aspect or cog in both the Indian team's wheel in T20Is and white ball cricket, and also Kings 11. There's no two ways about it. I think he's their marquee player, as far as I'm concerned. And I think it suits him. The kind of person that he is, he's somebody who likes responsibility. He's been keeping wickets for a while now, even in 50 overs. So I don't think it'll come as a huge thing for him, keeping wickets and opening the way. And captaincy, listen, as wicket keepers, you are anyways captaining the side. I mean, you're the informal captain anyways. So I think that's not going to change much much for him. And I think, you know, he's going to be very, very important for Kings 11 and especially the whole setup. What I really like about the Kings 11 setup, and it's kind, I don't know whether it's a connected one, kind of an experiment, but it makes a lot of sense, is having a lot of players from Karnataka, right? The coach is from Karnataka, the assistant coach is from Karnataka, the manager is from Karnataka. And I tell you why it makes sense, because one of the biggest challenges of an IPL, and I'm talking from personal experience here, is getting not good players, but getting them to gel together, you know, kind of, you know, getting the right pieces of the puzzle in the right places. And once you have people from the same background, same state or something, that becomes easier. The mindset and everything becomes a lot easier. So that's the reason I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that pans out. You know, so many people from the same state, coaches and everything. So yeah, and they have a good side. I mean, overall speaking, they have a good side. But one of the things that Akash mentioned, I think I don't see a proper finisher in this side. I mean, they are kind of a top heavy. I don't know what they're going to do with number six and all. Maxwell, can really depend on him? I don't know.
Last time Kings 11 Punjab had Maxwell and went to the UAE. They did well, reached the finals. Akash, what sort of impact, A, do you see Maxwell having? And then, of course, the Anil Kumble factor as well.
A couple of things. I thought Deep was actually referring to the fact that a team from Karnataka can't win in Karnataka. So let's take Karnataka out of Karnataka. I think that was the inference, but maybe not. So see, when you look at the Kings 11 Punjab side, firstly, Rahul doesn't have to keep. There is Nicholas Pooran. So if he's the captain and he's the batsman, if he wants to really relinquish those responsibilities, he's capable of doing that. So, and it's going to be hot and warm and all of that. So he can take some burden off his plate. So that is something that he can do. Secondly, I think Pooran and Maxwell, a lot is going to depend on them, because I don't see Gail actually starting. I believe Mayank Agarwal with Karun, with KL Rahul. Mayank should have a good IPL. He's maturing as a player, expressing himself a lot better. KL Rahul should actually score a lot of runs. Their problem is will be finishing off, because at 6, they'll be Deepak Hooda. At 7, they'll be Krishnappa Gautam. These are not your ideal finishers. But the bigger problem is not there, is what I feel. Their problem is their bowling. And when you look at their bowling resources, they've let go of Ashwin, they've got Krishnappa Gautam. That's an inferior choice when you talk about the bowling capabilities. You have a Ravi Bishnoi, then you've got a Mujib. Mujib is a good bowler, but what about the Indian fast bowling setup? You've got Shami, then you'll have to play an overseas fast bowler. Who are these overseas fast bowlers? Hardis Willowen, they've got Sheldon Cottrell.
Chris Jordan.
Chris Jordan, so you'll end up playing Chris Jordan as well. But again, are you looking at gun death bowlers? If Shami is having a slightly 50-50 iffy IPL, what is your Indian fast bowling backup? Very limited. So I actually feel that bowling is a major area of concern. Ravi Bishnoi, Mujib will be fine, but Ravi Bishnoi, Krishnappa Gautam, Murugan Ashwin, you've got players, but bowling is my worry for them.
They have an issue with picking the right international combination. A lot of options with them, but only 4 spots available. Nicholas Pooran keeping, you have Sarfaraz, not Sarfaraz Khan, you have Chris Gayle, and then Sarfaraz Khan, you want to put him there in the top order as well. Then you have Jimmy Neesham, you have Mujibur Rahman. So a lot of chop and change when the international, Glenn Maxwell, a lot of chop and change when the international players are concerned, and it's going to be a worry for them to balance this out.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think Nick Pooran and Glenn Maxwell is definitely to start off with. I mean, those two would be there straight away. And Mujib. So, 3 are gone anyway. So, you don't really have to worry, at least in the first few games, as far as overseas are concerned. Then, the one is important, as Akash mentioned. So, now, chances are you will go with Chris Jordan, especially for your death bowling. So, I don't think they really have too many choices there in terms of picking up their 4 for overseas. So, it's kind of straightforward, to be honest. Yes, they have options like Sheldon Cottrell, but Sheldon Cottrell had a very average CPL, very average. So, I don't know whether he will fit into that straight away or not. Hardis Willowen, yeah, he's got pace, but then, I don't know. I mean, pace can also go for a lot of runs. So Chris Jordan, obviously, I mean, is the designated death ball, death over bowler for England. He's done well in the last series. So I think it's quite straightforward, the four overseas for me.
Akash?
These four. I have picked these four in my side as well. Only the other concern is when the pitches start turning a lot more. So that is when the Maxwells and the Poorans, that is where I think they'll be tested a little more. I think Maxwell will have a good IPL. That's just my hunch, not because of what he did in the UAE last time around. I think he's become a more mature, more responsible player in the last 18 months. Expect good things from him. Pooran is exciting, but they do have obvious issues with regards to their bowling, and that may just trouble them in the end.
Akash, do you see someone like Glenn Maxwell, looking at the pitches maybe in the second half, batting a little higher, and maybe someone like Karun Nair coming down to kind of handle the
My ideal 11 to begin with would be Rahul, Mayank, Sarfaraz at 3, Nicholas Pooran, you've got Glenn Maxwell, and then followed by Hooda and Krishnappa Gautam. Because Sarfaraz has, before all of this happened, he had a triple century and double century for Mumbai. And he was in like red hot form. I would rather give him that opportunity. Go ahead and score runs, kid, because you have got that kind of form going for you. Hope it's still the same. But then, see, I don't want to put a young kid at number 6. Hooda is still more experienced. Not the best finisher, we know, but that's what you have. Krishnappa Gautam, once again, can hit the long ball, but how consistently? So there are issues, but then that's KXIP. They do have issues.
Last bit to you, Deep. The impact of Anil Kumble on Kings 11 Punjab, the only Indian coach in the mix.
I mean, that's unfortunate to start off with. I think it's him who has actually mentioned that before as well, and I completely agree. I mean, that's unfortunate that he's the only Indian head coach there. I think we've got a lot of good candidates to take up those places, not just head coach, but you know, support staff per se. So, the thing is, listen, he's been there before. It's not that he's the first time he's going to be a head coach of a franchise. He's been there. He's done it for other franchises as well. So he knows what's happening. But what is interesting is the way he set it up. I think that is like he should be in his comfort zone, because he's got people that that he wanted, starting, like I said, his support staff, the players that he wanted. So he's got a lot of things that he wanted, the way that he wanted. So, hopefully, things will pan out all right for him. But there are some big holes that Akash has also mentioned. It's important to see how he manages those holes.
Well, the outlook from our panelists is a bit bleak for Kings 11 Punjab. Moving quickly on to Delhi Daredevils. Akash, have they got the balance right?
Delhi Capitals.
You know, Ajinkya Rahane behind me, and you know, they're still wearing the Delhi Daredevils jersey. So maybe got confused. Delhi Capitals. So Delhi Capitals, have they got the balance right?
Home team, don't mess around.
Okay. Yeah, don't.
Okay. Delhi Capitals. Akash, Delhi Capitals.
Are you coming to me first then?
Yeah, coming to you first. Have they got the balance right?
Okay. Let me, an unbiased view, even though I come from Delhi and I'm that Delhi guy who has actually sat with a poster of Delhi Doorastha. Ab tumse kuch nahi hoga. So I've done all of that because they've been very poor, let's be fair. But this year, that's my favorite franchise. Number one franchise to qualify for the knockout playoffs. Number one franchise who could actually go on and win the championship for the first time ever as a Delhi franchise. Wow. I think they are the best suited at this point in time with regards to their resources. They are one side that can play with three overseas players without breaking a sweat, and they'll still be fine. They have the spin department as good as Chennai Super Kings, if not better. They've got the batting lineup, Indian batting lineup, plus a couple of overseas players. The only minor concern is the lower order batting. If they can figure out that one aspect of their play with Carey, with Hetmyer, with Stoinis, I see this team actually breaking some records. So I'm very bullish about Delhi Capitals' chances this year.
Not to mention Shreyas Iyer and Rishabh Pant, number 3 and 4. They'll be very pivotal at those
numbers. They're outstanding. You've got Shikhar Dhawan, you've got Prithvi Shaw. There is Ajinkya Rahane who's not fitting into the playing 11 to begin
with. Exactly, yeah.
So they've got options. Yeah. And how. So, and when you look at the spin department, they've got Ashwin, Akshar, Mishra and Lamy Chhane. I mean, Mishra, what else you want? If you want fast bowlers, you've got Ishan Sharma, of course. So that's one department again. Mishra, Ishant ke saath, you've got maybe an Avesh Khan and Harshal Patel. That's weak, okay, but don't worry about it because there is a Kagiso Rabada with Daniel Sams and Nokia. So they don't have to. If Ishan is having a bad IPL, forget about playing another Indian fast bowler. We'll play only two overseas fast bowlers. We've got three Indian spinners. We can still play two overseas batsmen in Carey and Stoinis or Carey and Hetmeyer. So, yeah. I mean, what is the problem? So, I, if they get their things right, this is the franchise to beat, boss. I'm telling you, that's my team for this IPL.
Right. Coming home for Akash. Deep, do you agree? I mean, last year, Delhi Capitals made it to the knockouts and that was seen as a major step up. This year, as Akash says, just go with the whole hog.
Listen, look at that squad. I mean, without a shadow of doubt, that's the best squad that you've got, right? They've covered absolutely all the bases. Now, there is a potential of self-destruction here, okay? And Delhi's done that before. So that is what is my concern. There is a good chance of DC self-destructing, right? And there are a lot of choices, but they need to make those tough choices, right? And whether they will make those tough choices, a lot will depend on that. And that's where I see Delhi being one of the best squads in this IPL, potentially a pre-tournament favorites, but again, potentially a chance of self-destructing as well.
Tough choices, Deep? What are the tough choices you think that they should be making, and you'll be eagerly watching if they'll make those choices or not?
Dropping Ajinkya.
Dil pe le gaye.
Okay, that's one. Yeah. No, I want to know. See, because
my point is this. So if listen, you're going to start with Shikhar and Prithvi, right?
Yeah.
So if Ajinkya plays at 3 and then Shreyas at 4.
He doesn't play.
So he has to play at 3, right? And then everything goes behind. Then Hetmeyer goes, Rishabh goes. And then that will bring... I mean, I'm just thinking about a potential... the dynamics in that dressing room or in that squad at that point in time. So that's the thing I'm only saying. Okay, whether they would have that Ajinkya, you might have to wait for a while or whatever. And I mean, that's that. Apart from that, as you mentioned, Akash, I mean, the squad boxes all ticked. But that's what I think.
No, I think I'll just moderate this a bit in terms of making those vital choices. Yes, they might be favorites in your book, Akash, but sometimes things don't really go to plan. Maybe they'll lose closely because there's a little bit of lack of experience there. Yes, youngsters is the main core of that side. So maybe they don't get on that winning roll
It is not last 2 years the philosophy was youngsters. This year suddenly you bring in two established
No, but it's still the core. Yes, it's much more experience, but what I'm trying to get at is if they don't win the first 2-3 games, don't get on that winning roll, maybe they start to chop and change, make those tough calls, and then the balance goes out of the window. So it's unpredictable. It's unpredictable mix. Let's see, Akash is putting them as favorites. Let's see how it goes. It'll be very interesting. And from one home side, we're going to the another home side. Deep, starting with you, Kolkata Knight Riders. Akash says Delhi Capitals, top 4, winning the tournament. What are you saying?
Chetan, straight away, let me clear this, all right? I've got two teams that I follow. One is the Indian team and the other is the Bengal team. I don't have a third team.
Oh, okay. But we're giving you a third team. Your first comment.
I don't need one. Listen, I'm more interested with what SRH and Kings 11 do because I've got three Bengal players playing for them. So I'm more concerned about them than anything else. But yeah, having said that, I think KKR's got a good side. Even though, initially picked their side to play on that Eden pitch,
yeah.
right? But I think they've kind of have that unit now, which is more versatile. So you have enough spinners. I mean, hopefully Kuldeep will get back to form and stuff. I hope he has a good tournament. So I think they have a lot of their bases covered. Looking forward to this side. I think this is an exciting KKR side with Ewan Morgan in there. Shubman Gill getting a regular go. I think it's a good and an exciting side.
Akash, who are the players for you that could stand out?
I agree. I think Sunil Narayan. Sunil Narayan should open once again and should be bowling his quota of 4 overs. I think, actually, I've got a strong hunch that Kuldeep will have a good IPL. So, Kuldeep Yadav will have a good IPL. So, if Kuldeep is having a good IPL, if Narayan is bowling well, Russell, Morgan, Dinesh, Shubman, they're all supposed to have a decent IPL any which way. There is pedigree there. The only area of slight concern, and we tom-tom so much about it when it's the RCB, but when we talk about KKR, we will not talk about the death bowling, but death bowling is a bit of a concern because Pat Cummins is not your gun death bowler. He's a super bowler, but he's not your gun death bowler. You've got Shivam Mavi, you've got Sandeep Warrior, you've got Nagar Koti, you've got Prasidh Krishna. So there is quantity, but is there enough quality in the last 4 overs? Do they have that bowling?
Quality or
whether
experience?
It actually is. So whether it is actually it's going to be a game changer. We shall find out in good time. But if there is a potential problem, that is one. And they might also end up playing with only 10 men. See, that's another thing that may happen with them. Because if Narayan is not opening, then Narayan, the batsman, gets lost completely. But if he's opening, then Siddhesh Lad / Rahul Tripathi / Rinku Singh will be batting at 7. At 7. I mean... Yeah. Might as well play a bowler, but you will not play a bowler because you don't know what you're getting from Sunil Narayan, the batsman. So it is actually a non-issue if the team is doing well. But it becomes an issue when you say every single game that you're actually playing with 10 men and not 11. So 10 versus 11, most of the times when KKR is going to field their playing 11 with Sunil Narayan as an opener.
Both of you bet on Kuldeep Yadav having a very good IPL. In the last 6 months before the lockdown, we saw Kuldeep Yadav not being used too much in India's white ball cricket, especially in T20 cricket. Virat Kohli and the team management were looking at different options. I don't want to talk about anything else, just this factor. How important is this going to be for him to get back into that T20 side?
I think it's going to be huge. There's no two ways about it. I think he's worked really hard in the last 4 or 5 months. I had a chat with him where he said he knows what he needs to do. Hopefully he's done that. He's got enough time. And you know, a lot of, it's like a boon for a lot of the players who were kind of out of form before this whole thing started. So they've got this 5 months break. They can sit back and analyze and get their head going in the right direction. And I think he's worked hard. And I think he, as Akash mentioned, I think he will have a good IPL. And also the surfaces will help him. If you look at, they're going to play in Abu Dhabi 8 games. Which generally does help the spinners. So I think looking at everything around him as well, I think he should have a good IPL.
Moving on quickly to Sunrisers Hyderabad, David Warner is back. Didn't have a really good time in England, although at the time of recording, the last ODI is to be played, but he's been Jofra Archer's bunny. He's back as captain. Akash, how do you see? He's always had a good IPL. He's always made that impact. Sunrisers Hyderabad have a good list of all-rounders. But you mentioned about Jasprit Bumrah earlier that he's not the same bowler he was before lockdown in the last 2-3 months before lockdown. Same can be said of Bhuvneshwar Kumar as well. A lot of injuries. He's been coming, going. How do you see this panning out for Sunrisers?
See, Sunrisers Hyderabad, I like the team because VVS Lakshman is there and he's my friend. Rashid Khan is there because he's my favorite player. And there is Mohammad Nabi who I like so much. So there's plenty to like about that team. But I think a sum of all parts, if that comes together, it's a decent team, not a good team still. Because their fortunes have dipped quite radically. Let's be honest. Warner will still have a decent IPL. But then what about the rest? There is Bairstow. Yes, I would rather start with him to begin with. But then Kane Williamson. They're batting after that. Manish Pandey, Vijay Shankar, Virat Singh, Abdul Samad or Priyam Garg. Okay, that's not the ideal batting lineup. Then you look at their bowling. you'll say that someone like Bhuvneshwar Kumar has not been on top of his game, or Rashid Khan has not been picking as many wickets because others around him are not creating enough pressure.
Sure.
Nabi yeah. should play, but then they'll also toy with the option of Mitchell Marsh. And yeah. Mitchell Marsh, fine, reputation, but IPL performances, I don't know what we can actually make of that. Their bowling is not the same unit. They are actually a mid-table, middling kind of team. They'll have to punch above their weight to qualify. Don't be surprised if they do not qualify this season and they end up as one of the disappointing franchises in the end. They don't play the exciting brand of cricket, barring David Warner and Johnny Bairstow. They are not that kind of a side. And now their resources have also dipped quite a bit. So, I really hope for Lakshman. Lakshman's fortunes, the team should do well. But nahi karegi achha, ye mujhe lagta.
Deep, your thoughts?
My thoughts are on similar lines. I think if you think about what made them so successful was their bowling unit. Batting was always very heavily dependent on their opening pair. And so again, I mean, it has fired, but there is no guarantee it will fire again. And the batting again has been a concern. For last 3-4 years, it's always been a concern, that middle order. And unfortunately, they haven't really addressed that. They tried to address it, but haven't really, really addressed that middle order batting issue that they have. If Manish is batting at 3, then you know there's some good, exciting youngsters. Virat is a good, exciting youngster. Samad is again a very exciting young batsman coming through. But then again, they are untested at this level. I mean, they've had good domestic seasons, but can you really depend on them as of now, pre-tournament? Again, they can end up having great tournaments. So those areas, yes. And then again, Rashid Khan, I mean, listen, if you're in the opposition, you're saying, you know what, I'm going to play Rashid's 4 overs out for 16, 18 runs, and then I've got other 16 overs that I can look after.
Yeah.
So, you know, from that perspective, obviously, I mean, it's not the same side as Akash mentioned. So they really need to make sure that Bhuvi's in top of his game, someone like Khalil's top of his game, you know, Sid, Kaul, you know, all these guys, Basil, Thumpy and all. So they've got to be very, very careful there as in how they manage it. I mean, they have good people like VVS and all. They have good people to manage them and get the best out of them. But again, there are too many, you know, moving parts there that has to come together.
Right. Final franchisee for us, Rajasthan Royals. Have they done enough in the auctions? They're always, you know, penny pinching, getting the basic required. I think they've got that international core together. You have your Ben Stokes, Steve Smith, Joss Butler, David Miller, Jofra Archer. Ben Stokes, a bit of a doubt whether he'll come back and play because he's been away taking care of his family. Akash, first you and then Deep.
See, first, I think they started as this Moneyball franchise, but last auction, the big auction that they had, they are no longer that Moneyball franchise. They've spent every penny that they had. So they've not really saved money for something else. So once that's the case, let's judge them on the basis of what they have done with that money. What they have done is they have recruited some overseas talent, which is phenomenal, which is exciting, and they are match winners in their own right, from Butler to Stokes to Smith to Jofra, four primarily, but then they also have David Miller. They've got more overseas players. I think they've got decent overseas department. Can't remember all the names, but anyhow, only four can play. That's why you don't remember the remaining four players that they have.
Four names actually.
And secondly, see, the fact is, this big auction that happened 2 years ago, that made sure that you have very little room to maneuver after that. So when we talk about an RCB, we talk about any other franchise trying to address a problem. See, I want to address a problem, but I don't have, I want to address COVID-19 problem, but I don't have a vaccine. What do I do? So vaccine is not on the table. So it was not there. When it is not there, you can only make do with things that, okay, you can get. So they've got a Yashasvi Jaiswal as an exciting opener. They might want to push Robin Uthappa down the order and see whether that fires. They've got a lot of spin, but a lot of quantity, not enough quality, because quality wasn't there to be bought at the auction this time. I see problems. When I see Rajasthan Royals, I see problems. Their bowling is weak. Their over-dependence on overseas recruits is going to come to the fore once again. Conditions are going to change. They are likely to change in the UAE, where the ball will start turning a lot more. Smith might be okay. Stokes, we do not even know about his availability. But if he's not playing, whether it's Chris, David Miller or somebody else, the fact still remains that they are not your spin-friendly, spin-made-for, tailor-made-for spin kind of batsmen. When you look at their spin, there is Shreyas Gopal, but who else? Rahul Tewatia, Mayank Markande. No. I've got my doubts. Even in the fast bowling department, yes, Jofra, but then who else? Ankit Rajput, Kartik Tyagi, Jaydev Unadkat.
Bottom half.
They look like a bottom half kind of team, but then strange things have happened. So when you look at the squad strength and all, you see there are problems.
Deep?
Yeah.
Quickly, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he summed it up. There is a lot of problem. There's no two ways about it. Especially when I look at that side and look at the batting unit, say, you know what, apart from Steve Smith, and if Robin opens, then who plays spin there? You know, that's the question that at least comes to me. Sanju is good. David Miller, I mean, we know, I mean, he struggles against spin. So, I mean, who do you have in that middle order who will handle spin when the ball starts turning, apart from Steve? So, I think they have those issues there. And, unfortunately, and I completely agree. I mean, they have no arguments or they have no justification of not picking up players because they spend all their money. All the franchises are getting a lot of money from the central revenue now. It's not about, you know, you being, you know, conservative with your buys. I mean, listen, you get a lot of money, so no justification. And they've spent a lot of money. And they will miss Ben Stokes. They will miss Ben Stokes in terms of getting the combination going. And I mean, the kind of form that Ben Stokes in, I mean, he's been phenomenal last year and a half. So he'll be missed a lot. I think they will depend a lot on their overseas is what I see.
Right. So a lot of predictions for players, for teams in this quick roundup for all the eight franchises. We'll quickly move on to the question corner. We'll take short questions we've got some questions from our Twitter followers. Karthik O wants to ask about the debate of anchor in T20 cricket. What's your take on that? We'll go to Akash Chopra on that anchor role. Top order batsman.
There is still scope. There is still room. And what is the definition of an anchor? That's something that needs to be looked into. And also where that guy is batting. So when you're looking at the UAE conditions, for example, and you're looking at 150 kind of games more often than not, then the strike rate of 120 is quite acceptable. It's par for the course. And the guy is batting at 3. Or opening the innings, why wouldn't you want somebody like him who can actually take you till the 14th over and then allow the others to come and explode? I still feel there is scope, there is room. One size does not fit all. If you are playing on 200 kind of surfaces, yes, there is no need for an anchor because that's not going to work. But if all games are not 200 plus, and you're looking at 150 middling kind of scores in T20 cricket, then there is definite need for an anchor because we've seen otherwise teams getting bowled out for 75.
Next question is for you, Deep. It comes from a friend of Akash's and a friend of mine. They are the Pie Chuckers podcast. They want to ask Deep, if a franchisee plays an 11 which has two wicket keepers, should the better keeper keep or the senior keeper keep, and who should be the one fielding, better fielder fielding or the other guy fielding? I mean, I think this will happen in Kings 11 Punjab a bit, won't it?
Yeah, the better fielder fields. As simple as that. I mean, you cannot hide people there. And when you're talking about a keeper, I'm assuming when the two keepers are there, they're equal. You can't be comparing chalk and cheese, right? If both the keepers are there, thereabouts, then obviously you're looking at the best fielder because, I mean, fielding is such an important aspect of this format. You can't have a fielder who's at least not safe on the field out there. So you pick the best fielder to go field. And again, the caveat is both the keepers are almost same level.
The next question comes from Pakistan, a 13-year-old kid who follows Akash Chopra. He wants to ask, in Dubai, spinners will play an important role, but CSK, their most experienced spinner, Bhaji, is not going to be there. Do you think it's going to be a big miss for them, or are they safe in that regard?
See, it's a bit of a problem, let's be honest, because I think we mentioned it on the show, Deep mentioned a single off spinner. And there are many teams that have got a lot of left-handers. Look at Delhi. You've got Shikhar Dhawan, then Rishabh Pant, then Alex Carey, maybe Shemran Hetmeyer. How many left-handers? And they are not the only franchise. So when you're looking at a lot of left-handers, you want that card up your sleeve. I'm not saying that leg spinners and left-arm spinners can't bowl to left-handers. But if you have an offie, play him because you want to take the ball away from anybody who's batting. So in that respect, Bhajji will be missed. But then so be it, man. Glass half full, half empty. Let's look at what you have and not focus on what you don't have. And that's exactly what the pandemic has actually taught us so far. Count your blessings. Make do with what you have because a lot of people don't have what you have.
Right. That brings us almost to the end of the podcast. Can't let you gentlemen go without your predictions. Akash has already said Delhi Capitals for champions, but he still has to name the four teams for the knockouts.
Okay, can I actually take five? Because I'll say, okay, Delhi, Mumbai, CSK. Fourth team, I'm split between one of the two. That's RCB and KKR.
Okay, Deep?
I think it's the same. I think DC, RCB, KKR, CSK, MI. I think these five, four out of these five... they are definitely looking better than or better prepared than the others.
Who is your eventual champion?
Can't say.
Champion, I don't know, but I like fairy tales. So Delhi Capitals.
No, Akash has already said Delhi fairy tales. Deep, I'm asking you, who's your eventual champion?
I don't know. It's going to be difficult. I mean, maybe mid-tournament when we do this podcast or whatever, I'll
tell
you.
I just want to see whether
DC's self-destructs or not, man. I want to see that. I mean,
What I'll do is I'll name my best four. I would say Mumbai CSK obviously will be in there. I think Rajasthan Royals, if Ben Stokes does come, they will be pinching above their weight. I want to see their international players gelling. Steve Smith, Josh Butler, and Robin Uthappa they've got. So it could be an interesting mix. So Rajasthan Royals, my black horses. Of course, stranger things have happened. And Delhi Capitals, I think, will also squeeze into the knockouts. And the fifth team, if I have to pick, obviously, will be Kolkata Knight Riders. Eventual champions, if I have to pick, will be Mumbai Indians. I mean, Rohit Sharma always wins the IPL, doesn't he?
Was it even years or something like that? There was some
maybe he'll break it. Right, that brings us to the end of this very special episode, which is the IPL special. Our sincere thanks to Akash Chopra and Deep Das Gupta joining us all the way, but especially Akash because he is our guest. Yeah. Thank you, Akash, for taking our time and joining us on the show.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed my bit and you'll be too kind to me. Not many people are.
Listen, thank you, Akash. Thank you for joining us. And yeah, we will meet. I don't know whether we can meet or not.
We virtually meet.
Same ground, but we are different bubbles.
I think we will not be on the same ground either.
We might not be on the same ground either. That's also true. Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, but have a great tournament, Akash, and looking forward to obviously listening to you and watching you. And thank you again, Yair. And Chetan, thanks again for connecting and all that. Lovely speaking to you as usual.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again to Deep, and of course, I'll be watching you guys, following guys from afar. Really missing the action. Really missing being away from the cricket ground. It's been a long 5 months for myself, but just now waiting for the action to resume and come back on our television screens. We'll be back with more episodes of Hotspot. So of course, it will be on all platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on YouTube as well. So do share your feedback, do leave your feedback and comments, and of course share it on social media. Until next time, stay safe and thank you for joining.
Dhoni finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.